All right. I'm going to do a couple of sermons, this morning and one on the 20th, because we got our extravaganza next Sunday. I call it the ultimate Christmas, and today is Christmas, the ultimate story, and on the 20th, it'll be Christmas, the ultimate victory. You know, it's no use for me to say we're in the middle of the Christmas season anymore. I tell you what, used to, nobody mentioned much about Christmas till December the 1st, after Thanksgiving. How many are old enough to remember that? Now, it's November the 1st. We don't even get to Thanksgiving, and they're already talking about Christmas. So I try to keep it separated myself. I don't know what y'all do. But, you know, it's a season of goodwill and giving of gifts and, you know, celebrating. But we need not forget the real reason for Christmas is celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, just about, I won't say everybody, but just about everybody likes a good story. How many of you like to hear a good story? Well, see, that's about half the congregation. I guess the other half of you could care less, you know, but or else you just don't want to. You know, some people, they wouldn't raise their hand for any reason. It's like the guy, you know, the preacher said to him, said, how many of y'all want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand but one man. And the priest said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, oh, yeah, but he said, I don't want to go right now. And the other catch line, that's one catch line. The other catch line is, he said, I want to go to heaven, but I thought you was gathering up a load right now. And then the other catch line on that site, there's three catch lines. That joke goes three different ways. The other one was, says, well, I don't like to see anything voted. I don't like to see anything 100%. So, I want to go to heaven, but there has to be one person that didn't raise their hand. Some people, that's the way people are, okay? Yeah, a good story. You know, how many of you remember maybe your mom, or I remember my grandmother, my dad's mom, Pastor Mom. She would tell all us grandkids stories. How many of you remember that one of your relatives or mom, dad, somebody telling you a good story? She and we used to get her to tell one story over and over again, because she would talk about some of their relatives lived up here in Oklahoma, down there around Turner Falls area, that area down there. And she'd tell the story about that they came up in the covered wagon. And they came up in the wagon, and they'd have to spend the night, and coming up from out of Texas there. And she was talking about, she'd always talk about that there was a panther and making noise and scaring all of them. And we always got her to tell that story. I can't even remember it, but I remember that part of it. But storytelling is something that people enjoy. But there's one thing that we need to realize that happens and needs to continually happen when we're telling the story of Christ's birth. We need to continue to tell this story so that the real meaning of Christmas is continued to be thought about and followed. You know, so many times the real reason for this season gets caught up in other things. So let's turn to Luke 1. Luke 1. And this is where the story begins. Of course, we will follow up on the second one with the rest of the story. Begin reading with the 26th verse. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, I know that you have heard this many times and probably read it your own self many times. But sometimes when someone starts to tell a story that you've heard them tell over and over again, you have a tendency to turn it off. So I heard this before. How many of you ever heard my dad preach? Dad had a way of telling stories or testimonies, I guess. They really were testimonies of things that happened in his ministry. But he had a way of telling those. And I heard some of those same stories over and over again, but it was still always interesting to hear it again. And that's what the Christmas story has to become to us. It just can't become, "Oh, I've heard that for the 534th time." It has to become, "Oh, the Christmas story." It is the ultimate story. You know, Norman Vincent Peale said this, "I truly believe if we keep telling the Christmas story, singing the Christmas songs, and living the Christmas spirit, we can bring joy and happiness and peace to the world." You know, I want you to get stirred up thinking about the Christmas story. It is the ultimate story. I mean, today, you know, people get caught up in the ultimate or the best. You know, there's the ultimate thrill, the ultimate warrior, the ultimate deal, you know, ultimate this, ultimate that. So, and that word is supposed to mean the best. It's it. That's it. There's not anything any better. When you've done the ultimate, you're at the top of the heap. It doesn't get any better. But there's no greater story than the Christmas story, the ultimate story. It's the greatest power story. It's the greatest revelation. It's the greatest victory. It's the greatest giving. It's the greatest purpose. It's the greatest love story that has ever been told. It's all of those. It's the ultimate of the power of God. It's the ultimate of revelation. It's the ultimate of victory. It's the ultimate in giving. It's the ultimate in its purpose. And it's the ultimate in love that gets no better. Think about this story. A supernatural birth in Bethlehem. A supernatural visitation of angels. A supernatural dream given to Joseph. Supernatural guidance given to the wise men. Could all this really happen? How can God appear in human form? How can a virgin bear a child? How can a choir of angels appear to a bunch of shepherds? The Christmas story, the babe of Bethlehem, an impossible story, but made possible by the power of God. when it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. Luke 18:27. You see, the Christmas story is a story of impossibility with man, but possibility with God. You see, from the ultimate story, the Christmas story, we do not have to relegate it strictly to a baby being born. But we can begin to see the power of God in existence and the guidance of God, the mercy of God, all of these things, the protection of God, all of these things are in the ultimate story. All you have to do is read the story. 6 things that we can look at that this story tells us. God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave the babe of Bethlehem that became the Savior. The Christmas story tells us God cares for us. The Christmas story tells us that God is coming to us to be with us. And then, of course, I've already said it, the Christmas story, all things are possible with God. The Christmas story gives us the strength of the power of God when man is incapable. The Christmas story tells us that whatever you're facing in life, you can make it through if you follow God and his leading. Joseph had to follow God, even though it didn't seem to be the right thing to do. Joseph had to follow God in taking the baby out of the country. You see, the Christmas story tells us so much. But the Christmas story also tells us that supernatural power is available for us. So that we, present day, you see, it's great to look over here in Bethlehem and see God moving in what seems to be the impossible. But it's another thing for us actually to look at the Christmas story and realize it can transfer through the centuries to us right now in 2015. That same impossibility with man, but is possible with God, is the same power that's here today for us. Our impossibilities become possibilities. George W. Truett, great Baptist minister. In fact, he pastored First Baptist in Dallas for many, many years. He said Christ was born in the first century, yet he belongs to all the centuries. He was born a Jew, yet he belongs to all races. He was born in Bethlehem, yet he belongs to all the countries. See, that's what I'm trying to get you to realize is what happened here is for us in 2015. It's just not a stable. It's just not a manger. It's the power of God. That same power that brought the Christ child to earth is the same power that will deliver us from all of our situations. That same power will help us with all of our needs. Sitting here this morning and listening to me on the internet, there are people with family situations. There are people with financial situations. There are people with work situations. There are those that have suffered tragedy. There are health issues. But the good news from the Christmas story is God can help you with all of those. You are not alone. God Emmanuel, which means God with us, is here for you through the power of the babe, the Christmas story. We're not destitute. El Shaddai is with us. He came to us in the form of a babe, but he died on the cross and arose again. And now the spirit of El Shaddai lives with us. You know, sometimes we tend to see the Christmas story as a stable, a babe in a manger. Some shepherds, some wise men. And that's all there is to it. I've been a shepherd. I've been a wise man in place, in church. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You all know I grew up in church. I don't know nothing else. Man, I've played all the parts in the Christmas play. Recited all of the, you know, the things that needed to be recited. And yet, if you're not careful, that's all it becomes, is a great story. I talked to Dad one time and I said, "Dad, you tell all these stories." I was probably 16. I said, "Why do you tell all the stories?" He said, "So people can get what the story means to them personally. Because of that story, they see themselves and they can relate." As we look at the Christmas story, it gives us hope. It turns us to trust in God. The Christmas story moves us to give as God gave his son. The Christmas story teaches us ultimate love. The Christmas story teaches us God is not selfish, and we shouldn't either. He gave his very best gift. So we should give our very best. Have you ever listened to that? Rum-a-tum-tum. You ever listen to that? Little drummer boy. He didn't have anything to bring to the Christ child. But he could play a drum. So he said, "I played my drum for him." Amen. We all have something that we can give. Give your best. Give what you have. And as you give what you have, many people say, I would give it if I had it. No, you wouldn't, because you won't give the 50 cents you got in your pocket. Well, I would help if it was a bigger project. No, you wouldn't, because you won't help with the little project. Giving our best does not always mean it has to be large. It just has to be the best we have. You know, every time I stand up here to minister and to preach, I try to do my best. And sometimes I walk off and I say, man, that was bad. I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone to one of those doors to shake hands and I thought, man, what a mess that was. To myself, I didn't tell anybody else that. You know, but I did the best I could at that particular time. And people go out the door, oh, Pastor, that was so good. Oh, that was, and I thought, my Lord, how'd they get anything out of that? But, you see, I gave all I had. I gave it my best. My dad taught me that. He said, I preach to two the same that I preach to 2,000. So just give it your best. It may, when you finish with it, you may not think that it was very much. You may not think much about it. And you may feel like it was horrible. But if you gave it your best, that's all you can do. And when you give your best, God can take it, what you called a mess, and turn it into the best. Orrin Arnold gave some suggestions for some Christmas gifts. To your enemy, give forgiveness. To an opponent, give tolerance. To a friend, your heart. To a customer, service. To all, charity or love. To every child, a good example. To yourself, respect. But you know what? You can't respect yourself if you haven't given your best. You can't respect yourself if you haven't listened to the Christmas story and applied all the rest that it means to you. The Christmas story means salvation. The Christmas story means healing. The Christmas story means protection. The Christmas story means provision. The Christmas story means, when it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. So if you will learn from the Christmas story, you will find that you can see that God will take you through time, and you'll find yourself rejoicing as you see, as you've learned from the Christmas story and given your best, He gives back to you, and then you can shout and sing and enjoy victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. That's not in here anywhere. That's just a little something the Spirit gave to me. So many times when I'm speaking up here, I don't ever make a big deal about, oh, it's a prophecy, a word. Oh, word from the Lord. I just give it out and keep on going down the road, you know. I told somebody one day, I said, quit drawing attention to yourself. Just give it out and it'll minister to people. But when you give so much attention to yourself, it don't minister to nobody. The Christmas story. Say it with me. The ultimate story. It gets no better. It's the best there is. The same God of the Christmas story, the God of the impossible, is the same God that is with you this morning, and that same power and everything that you need can be yours because of the Christmas story. Heavenly Father, I've talked to the people for a few moments this morning about the Christmas story. And I try to get them to understand that there's more to the story than just the birth of Jesus. There's so much we can learn from the Christmas story. And Father, may we learn those things. But may we learn first of all, and most of all, that Jesus came for our salvation. And secondly, it has been demonstrated, the Christmas story demonstrates to us man's impossibility, God's possibility. And may we get a hold of that and walk with that. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're in this place this morning, you know, hey, you heard me talking about the Christmas story. The Christmas story is salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then the power of the Christmas story is not yours yet, but it can be. If you're in here today and you know the power of the Christmas story, but you know you're not where you need to be and you need to rededicate your life to God. Are you in this place and you say, oh, I've heard the story many, many times. I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted the power of the Christmas story into my life or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now, wherever you're at. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need a no-so experience with God. Is there a hand back here somewhere? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Are there others that would raise your hand right now? I need the power of the Christmas story in my life, the power of God. Anybody? Anybody else? If you're here this morning, you say, I know what it is to have the power of God in my life, the Christ in my life, but I would like to receive that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. I'm not talking about church, creed, or doctrine. I'm talking about a biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit today? Just lift your hand. Everyone stand, please. I'm going down to the front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here to the front right now so I can pray with you and for you right now. Come on. You can bring... You need to bring somebody with you. Ask somebody. You raised your hand or should have raised your hand. Come on right now. Praise the Lord. Just stand right here. We'll wait for some more. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Come on now. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I walk down there with you. Come on. We're going to wait just a moment. Anybody in the balcony, they'll help you down. Come on. Anybody else want to come? Here comes some more right now. Hallelujah. God bless you, man. God bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come on down. Come on down.
Jesus, he's waiting.
Bless you, buddy. Thanks for bringing him. Just stay here with me. God bless you, buddy. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on.
Waiting on you.
Come on.
Waiting on you. Jesus.
Come on now.
Just as you are.
every one of you that's standing down here, look up my direction, please. I got three books in my hand. New Birth, talking about salvation in Him, who you are in Christ, and White Tongues, talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if I said I'm going to give you these books and I put them out here like this, tell me what you got to do to get them. Somebody show me what you got to do to get these books. You got them. They're yours. No, you keep them, because they're going to all get them same books in just a minute. Everybody. That's an exercise I always do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual thing you come down here for. It comes from heaven. Just as He reached out to grab those books, I want you to reach one hand up. Right, left, it doesn't make any difference. But with that hand, you're saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I came down here for. Would you just do that right now? Congregation, would you pray as I pray with these? Heavenly Father, I thank You for every one of these that have come today. I thank You that every spiritual need in their life will be met. Salvation, rededication, no soul experience with You. I have blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want to ask you to go with Brother Greg to a special place of prayer where you can pray both individually and in depth. All the rest of you get those books. And that class, we call it a prayer room this morning, but that place becomes a classroom on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We call it Turning Point. It's just a class to come to for a few sessions to get your life turned on to God or back on to God, okay? Would y'all just turn right now, see Greg right there. Would y'all just follow him to that special place of prayer? Praise the Lord. God bless. Give him a hand as they go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank You, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory.